Tonight's scripture comes from various verses in both Matthew chapter 22 and 25. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you do for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we ask that you would be with us in a very special way as we share your word together. One more time, God, we need you to fill up our words with your word, that we might hear your voice, that we might see your glory, that we might be transformed by your love and your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been looking over these past few weeks at what it means to be the church. And we spent a couple weeks looking up, and now we're spending a couple weeks reaching out. And last week we talked about evangelism, talked about putting our faith into words, if you will, inviting people to know this beautiful Jesus who has saved our lives. And today is sort of the twin, if you will, of evangelism. Evangelism part two, mission, whatever we want to call it. It's the not just our words, but our actions part of sharing the gospel, of being the gospel, of being the church. We look at doing good things, good works, if you will, in a variety of ways. Sometimes we don't really worry about doing good stuff at all because we know that we're saved by grace, and so we can kind of like relax. And even though some of us wind up there, it's probably not a really good place to stay. But sometimes then we do the opposite, because it seems to me we're always on one extreme or the other as we're trying to find a balance in walking this Jesus life. We do things because we have to. We do good things because that's what good Christians do. And sometimes we wind up so weary and tired and resentful that we're really not good for anybody. And even sometimes the good that we're doing is almost nullified by the growly, grouchy attitude that we do it with. But I love the first reading from Matthew 22 that Doug read for you tonight. I love it because Jesus puts everything into perspective. It's when the Pharisees come to him, and you know, the Pharisees were always looking to trip him up. And so they said, "What is the greatest commandment?" Right? "In all those thou shalt and thou shalt not, which one matters most?" And Jesus, as he always does, tells the Pharisees and reminds us that it is about relationship. It is always about relationship. So Jesus says to these Pharisees, who really don't even care what his answer is, they just want to try to make him look foolish, he says to them, "Love the Lord your God with everything you've got. It's the first, it's the greatest commandment. And then love your neighbor the way you love yourself." And we don't have to ask who our neighbor is, because they already did that for us. And we remember the story Jesus told of the Good Samaritan, who's our neighbor, anyone who needs us to be their neighbor. But then Jesus says something so cool. He says this: all the law and all the prophets, everything that's been written, all the rules, all the commandments, all 613 laws in the Old Testament, in the Torah, get wrapped up in these two things. Love God with everything you've got and love your neighbor with the same passion and the same care that you love yourself. All of it is wrapped up in that. And Jesus takes us right back to where we need to be, that it's not about following the rules. It's not about the thou shalt not or the thous. It's not about doing all things right and getting all our ducks lined up in a row. It's about living in relationship with God and then living with each other out of that relationship we have with God. We need to hear that. We need to hear that so we can sort out exactly how we're going to do these good things that God calls us to do, how we're going to be the hands and feet of Jesus, how we're going to show people the love of Jesus by what we do for them. And then Jesus goes farther. We have it recorded a couple chapters later on in chapter 25 when he tells the story about the king coming into his kingdom and separating, if you will, the sheep and the goats. And he says to the one group of them, he says, come. Come and get your reward, the kingdom that's been prepared for you. Because I was hungry, gave me something to eat, I was thirsty. I was sick, I was naked. I was a stranger, I was in prison, and you took care of me. You loved me. And they said, Lord, when did we see you in all those situations and do that? And so then Jesus takes this further because he told us before to love one another the way we love ourselves. He took it a step farther and he said this, whenever you do any of these things to the least of these, my brothers, you do them to me. So now Jesus tells us that when we reach out, when we love, when we care, when we clothe, when we feed, when we encourage, when we bless, not only doing it like we would do it for ourselves, we're doing it like we would do it for Jesus. It changes the way that we look at things. And whenever I hear Jesus say things like that, as I walk my journey with him, longing more and more to have my main citizenship be in the kingdom of God, I am constantly aware of how upside down the kingdom of God is from the kingdom that we live in. Even sometimes in a church, the kingdom of God is so upside down because we're impressed, if you will. We're impressed with power. We're impressed with prestige. We, even though we should be long past it, are impressed with cool. We're impressed with money. We're impressed with success. We're impressed with fame. And Jesus says, you know what? None of that really matters. Jesus is not impressed. He is not impressed with how talented we are, with how much money we may have saved up, how much money we earn, what our resume looks like, what our educational credentials are, how popular we are, how many friends we have on Facebook, how many Twitter followers we have, how many people think we're wonderful. He's not impressed, except how we can use those things in his service, in his glory. As a matter of fact, in the kingdom of God, which is so foreign from us, the people who count the least count the most. Jesus spent a whole lot of time hanging out, not with the very powerful religious people, but with the dregs of society, with people who most respectable people wanted nothing to do with. And he ate with tax collectors and prostitutes, and he touched lepers, and he cared about outcasts. And again, he encouraged us to do the same. In a culture where children didn't count as much except for the legacy that you were leaving in them, Jesus said, let them come to me because they matter, because they're important. This upside down kingdom of God is so foreign to us. And Jesus is inviting us to not only be a part of this kingdom, but to be missionaries, if you will, to be emissaries who spread the news of this kingdom into this broken world that we live in. How do we do it? How do we do it? Because sometimes the very people Jesus calls us to love, to take care of, are the very people that we really don't want a whole lot to do with. Because we need a heart transplant. Because if we're going to do this work that Jesus called us to, if we're going to make a difference in a world that is so filled with violence and hate, it makes us want to hide our faces. We're going to have the heart of Jesus beating inside of us. We are going to have to cling so closely to him to make ourselves so available to him that he can love other people through us. We have to be willing to hand him our prejudices, our presuppositions, the things that we value that he does not. We have to be willing to hand them over to him and ask him to make us truly citizens of the kingdom of God. Cannot do it without him. It's just gritting our teeth and being frustrated. Because this kingdom of God, in this kingdom of God, not only are the last first, the weak are strong and the poor are rich. And Jesus tells a parable about a man having a great banquet and inviting all these important people, and they don't show up. And so he goes out in the street and he just pulls people in. And Jesus says, that's what the kingdom of God is like. In the kingdom of God, a widow who has 2 pennies and offers them to him, that offering is worth more than all the correct, proper tithes of all the Pharisees who tithe down to their spices. In the kingdom of God, we're told that we're able somehow through the power of the Spirit, through Jesus Christ, to love our enemies. In a world that wants nothing but to see enemies punished, Jesus sends us out to love them. Upside down. No way we can do this by ourselves. And yet he calls us to. And so how do we do it? As I said, the first thing we have to do is we have to submit our lives. We have to invite him in. We have to allow him, as Paul tells us in Romans 12, to transform our minds. To give us a new pair of glasses, if you will, that sees the world the way he does, that sees people that we disagree with, that sometimes we dislike, the way he does. We know our transplant, we need a new pair of glasses. We need the Holy Spirit to flood our very being. We need to be reminded of the grace that saves us, that we are no more worthy of being righteous in God's eyes than the people that we look down upon. I love that the group of sheep that the king talks to didn't even realize that they had been ministering to Jesus when they ministered to other people. Because they just did it. Because it just came out of them. This loving, this caring, this taking care of. And there are some of you in this room who have that. It is easy for you to love. It is easy for you to give. You long to be a blessing to the people around you. You see someone's hurting and your heart hurts. You see someone broken and you want to run over with a hug or some help or whatever it is that they need. And you are an inspiration to us. You are an encouragement to those of us who it's a little harder to do that. And sometimes that's an easy excuse. Well, some people can give easily and some people can't. But here's the truth. We are children of a Father who does good always, who loves always, And his DNA, if you will, is in our spiritual DNA when we are born again. And so we can't use the excuse, I'm not really a giving person. Because he longs to make us over in the image of Christ. He longs to make us look like his son. I am struck by the fact that sometimes we want to do grand gestures for God. We want them to be magnificent. We want them to be life-changing. We want them to matter. And again, so often I find in my own prayers, God's not impressed. God's not impressed by my desire to be a powerful woman of God. He's not impressed by that. What God is calling me to be is a woman whose heart runs hard after him. A woman who is willing to do little things with no glory in his honor. And so sometimes, instead of focusing on the big glorious things we can do for God, we need to turn our eyes to the little tiny details that God puts right in front of us every day. I was hungry and you fed me. We have an incredible opportunity right here in this building on the third Monday of every month to feed hungry people. Every month. We have the opportunity to give money, to give food, to come volunteer, to love, if you will, the least of these. We are the least of these. We have incredible opportunities in our workplaces, in our schools, in our homes, in our neighborhoods to reach out with love to someone who needs something. Maybe a hug. Maybe a good word, maybe a card, maybe a phone call, maybe a prayer. We have incredible opportunity every single day to spread the love of Jesus in tiny and what seem to us insignificant ways, but that have more significance than we will ever realize until we see Jesus face to face and we see the fruit of all these little actions that we did. Joyce Meyer told a story once, not really even a story, just a thing that she does where she carries gift cards in her purse. And sometimes after church on Sunday, she'll look and she'll see a family who has young kids. And she'll give them a gift card and she'll say, hey, go out to lunch, you know? Just a blessing. I love things like that because I'm not thoughtful like that. And so I admire people who have those sort of things in place that allow them at all times to be a blessing. And it makes me want to be more aware of those opportunities where I can be a blessing to other people. Because see, that's how we're set up, to be a channel. Way back with Abraham, God said to Abraham this, you're blessed. But you're not just blessed for you. You're blessed to be a blessing. We're even told that the struggles that we go through, the compassion that we experience in our hard times is not just for us, but it's so that we can then show that same compassion and minister to people who are going through the same thing. Small, sometimes insignificant things that spread the gospel, that show the love of Jesus to a world that is desperate for him, that have eternal consequences. You can work your entire life. Work hard to save money so you can retire and enjoy yourself. And when you die, it's gone. You can work really hard to be famous and to be well known at what you do, to succeed, to be the best in your field, whatever your field is, and when you die, it's gone. It's gone. We can love other people. We can share the gospel with them, with our words and with our actions. And that can have eternal consequences. That love of Jesus that we let him love other people with through us goes on forever. And people are welcomed into the kingdom because somehow they see Jesus shining in us. It is our greatest calling. I've been giving you challenges every week, and I hope you're at least thinking about them. And I definitely hope from last week that you have a couple people on your list that you're praying for, that God's going to give you an opportunity to share him with them. The challenge this week is twofold. One, I want you to ask God tonight, and I want you to ask him tomorrow when you wake up, and on Saturday when you wake up, I want you to ask God, show me today what little thing I can do to be a blessing. Show me today what little thing I can do to love somebody with your love. And then I want you to look for the opportunity. Be prepared as you go about your day for the chances God is going to give you to be light, to be love, to be grace. The second part of your challenge this week is this. I want you to think of someone, and if you're really blessed, then you won't have someone you can think of, but I want you to think of someone, or maybe if you're on the other hand, you might have some ones who you really struggle with. It could be someone you work with, someone you go to school with, sometimes somebody you live with, somebody, not you, somebody you have to deal with, somebody who it's very, very difficult for you to even like, let alone love. Or you do this, you love them with your teeth gritted. And I want you to ask God to give you a new pair of glasses, to see that person the way God sees them. It could be somebody you disagree with, somebody you disapprove of, somebody who you wish you didn't have to deal with, and yet God keeps putting them in your life. Start praying for those people in our lives, that God will show us a way to love them. Jesus didn't say, just love people who deserve it. Love people who are lovable. He said, love your enemy. Do good to those who persecute you. Cannot do it outside of the grace of God. Cannot do it without the Spirit of God. But with God's Spirit, with God's grace, we can. So let's ask him to help us do that. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we were so unlovable. When we were your enemies, you reached out to us in Jesus Christ. You made a way for us to come home. You made us lovable. And Lord, we long to see the love that you've poured into our lives make a difference in the world. We don't want to do good things because we're supposed to. We don't want to do good things resenting them. God, we need you to do heart surgery on us. We need you to take these hearts of stone and give us hearts of flesh that beat in time to yours. Jesus, again and again, you looked at the crowd and you had compassion on them. Lord, in this angry, angry world we live in, we need to feel that compassion, your compassion for a broken world. So Lord, have your way in us. We're asking for new eyes, God, for glasses that see people the way you see them. God, we're asking you for opportunity to be light, to be salt, to be blessing, to be love in little tiny ways in our everyday life, that we might be part of building your kingdom, God, and drawing people to you, that they might find life eternal and abundant. So God, we're selfish, we're scared sometimes, we're self-centered, we're lazy, and yet you do amazing things with broken people. So we're asking you to do an amazing work in us that we might enlarge your kingdom. Because we do it in your name, Jesus, and for you. Amen.